Yesterday I received a transcript of a talk on Srila Prabhupada given by Shruti Kirti Prabhu at the Gaur Purnima Festival this year. I think it was Mother Urmila who sent it to me. And it was, as usual, with reminiscence of Srila Prabhupada, really wonderful, and particularly when spoken by Shruti Kirti, Harishwari Prabhu, the really empowered speakers, particularly on this topic, because they had so much wonderful association with Srila Prabhupada. The result of which, in my estimation, is that they have spontaneous attachment, spontaneous love for Srila Prabhupada, a really wonderful gift that many devotees acquired simply by coming in touch with his divine grace. A interesting part of the talk was that Shruti Kirti Prabhu mentioned that he would repeatedly see Srila Prabhupada reading his books. He would come into Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada would be there reading his books. And Prabhupada didn't only just read his books, Prabhupada also, and this is from other references, Prabhupada also listened to his own lectures. When he came back from some engagement, he would listen to the lecture. Anyhow, on one occasion, Prabhupada turned to Shruti Kirti and told him, have you ever heard of an author reading his own books? He says, authors don't read their own books. When they finish writing them, the books just go. They read other people's books. So Prabhupada said, the reason I'm reading these books is because it's Krishna's books and because every word is spoken by Krishna. I thought that was a very wonderful thing. And then Shruti Kirti goes on to explain how much emphasis Srila Prabhupada placed on regularly reading his books, a chapter, a page, even a word, and how that would bring about perfection because there were actually Krishna's words directly, and by coming in contact with those words, one was coming in contact with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's empowerment, particularly in the field of writing transcendental literature, is unmatched. There was another nice story, and this I had the good fortune to be witness to. Part of that was in 1976 when Srila Prabhupada was there for the Mayapur Festival. I was also there at that time, and in fact the lectures I'm just listening to now are part of that series, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. And on one of the first lectures, it was Prabhupada's welcome to the devotees. When the devotees had all arrived, Srila Prabhupada thanked the devotees for coming. They came from all parts of the world through all different types of difficulty. And Prabhupada pointed out how in the world, Sridhar Mayapur is the most auspicious place, and Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir in Mayapur the best, because it is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching is taking place. Prabhupada explained that this was all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, the fulfillment of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision that devotees from all over the world would come. And then Prabhupada became overwhelmed with ecstasy. He closed his eyes and he just sat there. And everything became really silent. I remember my reaction to that. It was, yes, it was the only time that I saw Srila Prabhupada exhibit such transcendental emotion. But somehow it seemed so very natural. And it established a very deep, or I felt a very deep a connection through that absolute silence and transcendental happening with Srila Prabhupada. It was something that I was just thinking about the other day. It was almost like I've been here before. Anyway, everyone was quiet. Hearing a pin drop is a common saying. I'd say no one was even breathing. It was super quiet. And then all of a sudden, one devotee began a kirtan. And so that brought Srila Prabhupada out of his trance. And then he returned up to his room. Anyway, that beginning of that kirtan also started a argument, a controversy. Devotees were arguing we shouldn't have said anything and we should just let Prabhupada remain absorbed as he was until he naturally came out, while someone else was arguing that no, chanting Hare Krishna is always the best thing to do. Finally, some devotees, Sri Kirti Prabhu, who was he and Brahmananda Prabhu, they went to Srila Prabhupada, and then Brahmananda brought up this thing, this part of the story I have really well etched in my mind. He brought up, you know, Srila Prabhupada, this morning you went into ecstasy. And then this is the part that's etched into my mind. And Prabhupada replied in a defensive and in a voice where he was excusing himself, an apologetic rather than defensive voice. And he is saying, but I don't do that often, do I? In other words, because Vaishnavas are not meant to reveal their ecstasy to others, particularly in public, unless, of course, they become overcome. So Srila Prabhupada was responding to that he doesn't do it often. And that is really wonderful, transcendental humility. And then Prabhupada went on, or rather Brahmananda went on to say, well, Srila Prabhupada, the point really was is that devotees want to know what they should do when this happens. Some say that we should have just sat quietly until you came out of your ecstasy, and others that chanting Hare Krishna is always alright, therefore we should chant Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said, yes, chant Hare Krishna, and that sort of settled it. And then he just sort of put a point on the end of the whole topic by saying, anyway, it's not important. Now, it's for Srila Prabhupada, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms was not important. It wasn't necessary to convince others that Krishna existed, that there was a spiritual world, that transcendental emotions exist. It, because Srila Prabhupada was so, for him, it was such a signed, sealed, delivered issue that chanting 60 rounds following regulative principles, one does return back home, back to Godhead. And that was a few days ago. I was listening to these same lecture series, and Prabhupada made this very nice point, very interesting point. And that point was that when a devotee promises something, then Krishna has to fulfill that. He makes this point that going back to Godhead is not an easy thing. But if a devotee promises, makes a promise to take someone back to Godhead, then Krishna accepts that. And I took that to be a direct reference to Srila Prabhupada's promise of 60 rounds of regulative principles, go back to Godhead at the end of this life. There, it was a controversy, even in Srila Prabhupada's time. It's a controversy that appears in certain quarters with certain people, that going back to Godhead is not an easy thing, it's a big thing, it's a difficult thing, and no doubt it is, if simply one is trying to do it by one's own efforts, it's not easily achieved. But Srila Prabhupada was saying in this lecture, but if one has the mercy of a Mahabhagavata and has arrangements on made on his on the strength of his pure devotional service, then Krishna will accept. And just the other day I was giving the example of how Krishna was willing to break his promise in on the battlefield to fight Bhishma Dev in order to protect Arjuna. So two promises. Krishna has this eternal standing promise that Nami Bhaktya Panashati, that I will always defend my devotee. And the other one is a circumstantial promise that he'll not fight in the battle. So same thing. Krishna has a promise that the word of his devotee is as good as his word. So Srila Prabhupada makes that promise that devotees on such conditions go back home, back to Godhead. Then even though going back to Godhead is normally not an easy thing, Krishna will accept that. And that's my faith. That, I think, is the faith of those who are Prabhupada Anugas or followers of Srila Prabhupada. I'll just repeat something that I remember I heard quite a long time back. And this was going back into the 80s, and it was Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan, and it was Bhagatji who was speaking, and he was speaking about one of Srila Prabhupada's acquaintances in Vrindavan, and I don't know who. The story went something like this. The acquaintance said to Srila Prabhupada, "I think you have the secret of love for Krishna and how to distribute it." And Srila Prabhupada answered, "I have not yet unlocked the secret of freely giving love for Krishna, but when I do, I will make it available to everyone." So Vaishnavas in our Krishna Consciousness Movement have this extraordinary faith and conviction in Srila Prabhupada. Something again that Srila Kirti Prabhu mentioned, and also that I remember hearing when I was visiting Dallas in 1975 or 76. And that was that when a lady asked Srila Prabhupada in Mexico that devotees are supposed to think of Krishna at the time of death, and if they do, then they go back to Krishna. She said, "But it's difficult to think about Krishna. What if we think about you?" Namely Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's answer was, "That's all right." In other words, that by thinking about Srila Prabhupada, one will also go back home, back to Godhead, which works when Srila Prabhupada is completely Tadatma, one in purpose and empowerment with Krishna, or at least he's so empowered by Krishna that simply by thinking about him, one can also achieve the same perfection. This is the conviction, but this is the special gift of followers of Srila Prabhupada and members of ISKCON. Hare Krishna.